Ken spends a lot of time away from home, working on the pipeline in Alaska, but our podcast has become his lifeline.
Focus on the family has helped my marriage by leaps and bounds. You give us so much meat and potatoes to think about. Like, don't focus on yourself. Put yourself in your spouse's shoes. What are they going through down there?
Ken finds our content so helpful that he's eager to share it with others.
So I spread that to other co-workers who might not know Christ, who might be having a bad day. You get to know them. Say, hey, by the way, listen to this Focus on the Family podcast.
Hi, I'm Jim Daly. Help us spread the word and bring real hope to more marriages like Ken's. Every couple can benefit from godly encouragement, and you can be part of our marriage-building team. Donate today at focusonthefamily.com/realfamilies or call 800, the letter A, and the word family.
Thank you for downloading the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast. You can find more relationship insights at focusonthefamily.com/marriage podcast.
So you and your spouse first fell in love and you couldn't help say things like, oh, she's so wonderful, or he's terrific, he's a dream. During that season, it was probably hard to imagine how that same person could do something that would irritate you just, you know, months later. I'm John Fuller, along with Greg and Aaron Smalley. They run our marriage department here at the ministry. And Aaron, why do you think couples overlook those faults when they're dating, which will become glaring agitations once they get married?
You know, the term blinded by love,
yes,
is so true, that we see our future spouse through this particular lens that is very positive and rosy and happy, and you know, they could do no wrong. And the truth is, like you're saying, is that, you know, for us it wasn't even months into marriage, it was days
really?
Into our honeymoon that we were like, wait a minute,
feel that way. Did
I
you?
Didn't know you did that, or really. And I love talking to couples who are engaged, because it is so present. Like it's almost impossible for them to see the reality of what's to come.
Yeah.
And it's not, I hate saying that, because of course it paints marriage to be such a negative thing. It's not. It's wonderful. But the reality is, you're putting your best foot forward, so you're on your best behavior. Well, once you get married, you start to relax and get comfortable, and some of those things start to come out,
yeah,
as well as the viewer's lens begins to shift.
And I think, John, too, that people prioritize bigger character qualities. Like, is this person a Christian? What about their sense of humor, their attractiveness? What do they want to do in life? So I think it's easy to focus on those things and make sure we're aligned.
Yes,
a lot of those,
yes,
little things then just gets ignored.
Then how I load the dishwasher.
Right.
I mean, that's not the cat. I wasn't looking at that. But as a matter of fact, now how I do that is really.
It does bother me, yeah, though. I've seen how you do that.
No, you've never been to my house. You don't care. It's okay. Dr. Ron Welch and his wife Jan have been married for a number of years, and they're very honest about their own relationship and how it got started, and here they are with Jim Daly.
Ron and Jan, welcome to Focus on the Family.
Thank you so much for having us. We're glad to be here.
Okay, well, let's get into it. You've been married over 30 years now. I understand you decided to get engaged only 4 days after meeting each other.
Wow.
Okay, everybody's going, what? Honey, did you hear that? 4 days? What's that all about?
I think this is my wife's story to tell. So.
Okay. Oh, nice punt. I'm going to punt this one right over to my wife.
Ron and I were at Denver University together, and I realized he was such an intelligent, kind person. And we ended up doing a project together, and we were able to he asked me out. And he was when we left, he wanted to borrow a quarter, because he was going to move someone from our date to another date.
He was going
to
make a phone call.
Make a phone call.
And I don't look very good in this part of the story, just so you know.
And thank goodness the line was busy, because I asked him what it was, and he says, well, explain that. And I was like, I like movies, and we were never apart. So we talked
really
all
fast,
night.
Condensed story there.
I had to move one date around to make room for another,
yeah,
so it
like
didn't
it.
Turn out to work very well. But the end result is we spent a lot of time together over the next few days. And after 3 or 4 days of spending time together, we looked at each other and said, should we go look at rings? And we're like, yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so then you get married.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go in the early days of your marriage?
We had to get to know each other after we got married.
Right. I would think there were some problems.
not the best plan. As you hear our story unfold a bit, you'll find that one of the reasons that I wanted this to happen so quickly was that I was a really insecure guy. I needed to control things and be in charge. And I really believed at that point that if she really got to know me, then what would happen is she probably wouldn't want to marry me. Mm. And so I wanted it to happen quickly and soon so that God could move things along, because I was pretty insecure about how that would work otherwise.
So did that come out pretty quickly then? What I would describe as a marriage trap in some ways. I'm not trying to be unkind, obviously, Ron.
No,
but
Honor.
When you try to compensate for those insecurities, it's kind of like, get the girl and then we'll deal with my issues later.
Right, and to the point of the controlling, I couldn't leave the apartment without him. And if I chose to do something, I would kind of pay for it because it would be an inquisition. He would keep asking questions. What did you do?
Tough.
Who did you see?
Yeah.
And it got to the point, it's not worth that.
Yeah. And in fact, in your book, you talk about the difference between falling in love and jumping in love. What's your distinction?
You know, that's where these choices come in, right, Jim? It's a daily decision if you want to be in love that day. And we have this language that talks about it happening to us, like it's an outside force and we fall into love, as opposed to making a conscious decision to say, I want to love you, I'm going to love you, and I'm choosing to love you.
Yeah.
And in my case, after a year, she told me, this is not working. And in God's perfect world, I would have been healed, everything would have been great. In reality, it was probably 8 or 10 years. There's nothing I regret more in my life than the fact that she had to help me become the man God wanted me to be.
Well, and the irony is that is in part what marriage is about. Unfortunately, in the modern world, we've lost that understanding of completing each other. And we'll unfold some of that as we move through the story. You also mentioned something called choice theory. Mm-hmm. You say that it can bring hope to any marriage. So walk us through choice theory.
You know, I think there's a level of expectation people have, and there's a level of understanding that makes them think this is just the way it is, and it's the way it has to be, and there's not much more we can do about it. Choice theory says that in every single situation, you have opportunities. God created us to be a certain kind of person in His image, and we can act in that image if we so choose, or we can act not to. And so what I've done in my understanding of choice theory is to apply that to how couples make choices. Whether it's getting up in the morning and deciding, today I'm going to honor my wife, I'm going to look at her in the face and tell her how beautiful she is, or I'm going to be someone who will honor and respect and love my wife or my husband in a way that is more about me than about them.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it comes from.
Yeah, and in one of those, you mentioned it's a choice to be unselfish. And I think when you look at marriages and you, embrace a Christian perspective, you're trying to walk more like Christ. Mm-hmm. This is exactly, I think, why He created marriage the way He did, mm-hmm. because we're attracted to opposites mm-hmm. that typically can rub you the wrong way over time. And what you've got to learn to do is to choose to be unselfish, because we're selfish creatures because of our sin nature, right?
I think there's two kinds of models of marriage in the world right now. One is the me kind of marriage, and one's the us marriage. The me marriage really focuses on this idea that I'm in this for me. As soon as you don't meet my needs, I'm out. And you see divorces, you see people who have affairs, because it's about me, and if I don't get my needs met, I'm going to go find someone who does.
I really love how Ron and Jan are so open about their mistakes and what they learned from those and adapted. And Greg, Jim and the Welches discussed how God designed marriage to make us more selfless, less selfish. How have you noticed that to be true in your relationship? In fact, a few episodes ago, you talked about how Aaron's an assistant in the process. How have you grown?
I think that when we first got married, we were younger, and I think that makes a big difference because the average age for couples getting married here in the United States is about 29 for guys, 28 for women. And I think what that does is they have had a lot of years living as a single person to where they don't have to worry about sharing this or that and what about this other person? I kind of went from family to roommates and college to Aaron. And so I really never was on my own long enough to really develop habits of, I need it like this and that. I think though where it showed up was in my early 20s. I was so committed to figuring out my identity, who I was, what my career was going to be. And there was a lot of self-focused there for and just trying to figure those things out. It was easy to ignore, overlook maybe some things that were important to Aaron as I kind of journeyed toward figuring that out. I think now, looking back, I see that. I see ways that I showed up in a real selfish way as I was trying to figure out who I am.
Wait, can you say that again?
No, for sure. I mean, honestly, as I think about it, I mean, it took me a long time to figure out what does servant-hearted really mean in a marriage? What does sacrificing for my wife really look like? And it just takes me a while. So I think what I'm trying to say is that, one, understand that there are some of those natural things, especially for a guy, that you're just trying to figure out who you are. Mm-hmm. Or you were single for a long time, and it just takes time to adjust. And now having someone there all the time to where you've got to make room for one another. And so it takes time either way. Either you got married young and you're dealing with those issues, or married later on in life and you're dealing with just, how do I do this with someone else?
Yeah, stuff is going to come up. And even banking off of a previous episode with the Yurkoviches, I think the last 5 or 10 years of our marriage, and it's over 35 years for us, I think the last 5 or 10, I'm starting to understand my past and how that actually led me to just kind of live my life not connected to Dina for a number of years. And I regret that. And I wish I could go back. I can't, but I can make good now.
Yeah,
and we're trying to do that. I'm trying to be more open and vulnerable and just to voice some desires that I have that she didn't know about. Mm-hmm. I didn't give her an opportunity because we were both so busy kind of conquering a big family with 6 kids and going every which way and all that.
And I think that is so key, because so often we assume that, you know, oh, he should know. He should know that's what I want or what I need. I had that conversation just a few days ago with a couple, and they totally have a different focus and maybe different preferences and, you know, just a different lens.
Yeah.
Why is that fair? And so I love what you're saying, John, that, yeah, speak up. And there is grief when you look back and see that I didn't make it known that's what I wanted. And it's fair to recognize that was on me. But now I want to do this differently. Mm-hmm. And I want to proceed forward, letting you know, communicating what I'm really longing for.
I remember hearing early on in our marriage that it takes about 7 to 12 years for a couple to move from me to a kind of a we.
Hmm.
And I think what's good about that is just giving each other the grace to kind of stumble through that. It takes a long time. It takes many, many years to fully make that transition to where we're operating as a real team and thinking about the other. It just takes time. Hang in there. Mm-hmm. Keep talking about it and certainly voicing concerns or frustrations around selfish behavior, but give each other some grace in figuring that out.
And that's what I was thinking. There's got to be grace in the process, that it's not going to happen instantaneously. Therefore, perfection isn't the goal. We're growing together, and this is going to take time. And amidst that time, we need grace, both for ourselves and for each other.
Yeah, and for ourselves, when we mess up again in the same way we said we weren't going to do again. So there is plenty of grace that God offers us, and we need to just bathe ourselves in that, extend that to each other, and keep growing together as we, if you will. Well, to learn more about the practical things that we've been talking about here and the discussion with Ron Welch, go ahead and get a copy of Ron's book, 10 Choices Successful Couples Make. We've got it here at the ministry, and we'll send a copy to you when you join the support team of Focus on the Family. That means that you're committed on a monthly basis, or perhaps you're able to give a one-time gift to help further the work of Focus on the Family as we strengthen marriages around the world. We need your support. Join the team. We'll send a copy of that book, 10 Choices Successful Couples Make. It's our thank you gift for partnering with us. At our website, then, we also have a lot of free resources, articles, and a free marriage assessment that we've mentioned a number of times here. More than 1 million people have taken that marriage assessment. Why don't you take it as well and benefit from its insights? The link is in the show notes. Next time, we'll discuss ways to combat lies that could destroy your marriage. For now, on behalf of Greg and Aaron Smalley and the rest of our team, I'm John Fuller, and this has been the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.
Has the hurt in your marriage become too much to bear? Focus on the Family's Hope Restored Marriage Intensive can help. We work with you so you can have the thriving marriage you want. Find out how to receive your free consultation at hoperestored.com.